want we lift our hands in this place tonight. Presence of the Lord is here. With our hands lifted and our eyes gazed at the Lord Jesus, why don't you begin to open your hearts? Why don't you begin to ask the Lord tonight, Lord, would you come and meet me? If you got that heavenly language, why don't you begin to lift that up? You got the native tongue, an English tongue, whatever you need. Just begin right now to magnify the Lord. Begin to lift up his name. Begin to open up your heart. Lord, we welcome you here. Woo, God, we welcome you here. We're just going to take another minute. Continue. Just to open your heart. Just to invite the Lord. Oh, Holy Spirit. Would you open our eyes tonight? Would you open our hearts in this place? It's another moment. Continue. Lord, we bless you. We honor you. There is no one like you. There is no other name under heaven by which men must be saved. Lord, we look to you. Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. We look to you. Oh, God, we ask that tonight you would speak to us. I believe that tonight's a night of blessed visitation. I believe that the Lord would want to move in power in this place. So I just invite you, church, bring an authentic amen to the room. Make space in your heart. If you're dry, oh, let the Lord fill you afresh tonight. If you're anxious, oh, may the peace of God fall upon you in this place. If you need solution, oh, may the blessing and the favor of God be upon you and your family. Lord, we just make space. We say, come, Holy Spirit. Oh, we pray in the only name, the name above every name, the matchless, beautiful, mighty name of Jesus. Come on, why don't we clap our hands to the Lord tonight and say amen, amen. Hey! Whoa, why don't you take your seat tonight in the presence of God? I do want to express my immense honor and just gratitude to be here in this great, great state. I do come from what feels like the nation of Western Australia. Somebody asked me, like, brother, how was the international flight? I said, it was long. It was quite, I had to get my passport out. We live in the most isolated capital city in the world, but I got good news. God's still moving. And I'm thankful to be here. My name is Cody. And I'm just honored to be in this space. I've seen a number of the young adults at Upper Room, and pray you were blessed. I know I was so blessed by what the Lord has done in this great region. I do want to introduce myself and my family. I've not met your incredible pastors, Pastor Mark and Nina. I'm excited to meet them one day, but can we just thank God for your pastors? Just honor them. Just want to honor what they built, what they've stewarded, and as well, Pastor Jack, Tiana, just got to meet you guys. Pastor Jack picked my sermon tonight, and so if you don't like it, it's his fault. So this is my family, and you're like, "Why are those all your kids?" Yes, they are. Come on, somebody. Anybody got a big family in the room? This is your moment. Come on. We got five beautiful kids. This is my amazing wife. Her name is Chantel. And we've been married. We just celebrated 11 years married on the 4th of July. So we are so blessed, so thankful. And we have four daughters. So I'm going to be paying for a lot of weddings one day. Pray for me. Our oldest, her name is Berkeley. And they all start with B's. We thought it would be cool then, but now it's a bit tricky because when we try and get a hold of what, one of you, come here. We got Berkeley, and then my only son, Brixton Rex, Byrne is his name. We've got Brooks in the middle. This is Bowie. She's a wild cat. We prayed, Lord, give us world changers. And the Lord did. And we're like, all right, help us, God. But they're amazing children. And then we have our newborn who's 8 months. Her name is Bendigo. And we are just so grateful. I was born in Perth to an Australian father and a Hispanic mother. So, ¿hablas español, anybody? For real? Sí. Oh, they do exist. No, I know enough to impress everybody else, but un poquito hablas, you know. So I only speak a little bit, so the real Spanish speakers are like, you're a fraud. And I do make good salsa, though, so how about that? But I grew up in New Mexico, so in the United States, and grew up to just in a great family legacy. I'm a first-generation preacher. I'll share a little bit of my story in our sermon today in our expounding of the Word of God. But I do really have, I believe, just a word for just this church. And it's been fascinating because as I've been able to travel and the Lord's opened some beautiful, significant doors, I've come to Brisbane in Queensland the most as I've been in Australia. And every time I come, I just feel that there's something God's doing in this region. I was just in Ipswich earlier this year. Was up in North Lakes earlier this year, obviously now in the city. And what suburb are we in, Pastor Jack? The best one. The best, so Warner? Come on. I got a friend pastors a church in Burpengary. I'm like, brother, that's a name, Burpengary. How about that? I'm not that funny, but you guys are laughing with me. So tell my wife. But I just really felt, I just wanted to release just something that I feel prophetically over this region. I just get this sense. I felt last August, I was on sabbatical with my family in Australia, or in America, excuse me. And I was in Phoenix, Arizona, and I was outside. It was the most peculiar thing because it's toward the end of the day, and it was a clear sky, but I smelled the scent of rain. Y'all know the rain clouds and the freshness, and I'm smelling rain, but yet I don't see a cloud in the sky. And I felt the Lord impressing upon my spirit that there's rain coming, that there's just an outpouring coming. And I felt the Lord saying that even if you cannot see it in the natural, it does not mean that it's not happening in the spirit. And I felt the Lord saying to me that I was to go back to our church and just release this word that it smells like rain. It's a season, I believe, that the church is entering into. I just believe that there's a cloud the size of a man's hand rising over the nation of Australia. I just believe that this is a John 4 moment, the moment of harvest, that if we look out into our cities, I think people aren't asking if God is real. I think they're asking which God is real. I think there's a hunger and a desperation and a seeking, in our generation, in our cities. And I just came here tonight to just declare upon this region, oh Lord, the cloud is rising. I just feel that there's a great move of the Spirit of God. And let he who has eyes to see, let him see. And ears to hear, let him hear what the Lord says to the church. So tonight, I want to bring a word as we prepare for just what God is doing in our midst. And friend, I don't believe that we're waiting for a far-off thing. I actually believe that the rain's begun to fall. I believe that we're in days of awakening, days of revival. I just believe we're right. We're starting to see God moving. We're seeing people coming off the streets in Perth and coming into the house of God. Like Acts, what must I do to be saved? We see people through the open windows hearing the sound of worship coming in off the streets, getting saved. We see people who have been bound by devils and demons freed and met with the power of the gospel and the Holy Ghost. Oh, friend, we're in miraculous days. And I know that this church and this region, you are seeing things, but I pray that tonight we wouldn't have a lens of cynicism or skepticism, but we'd have a lens of faith. We'd have a lens of, Lord, what would you want to do in and through my life? How can I partner with your kingdom? How can I partner with your spirit? How can I be a part of what you're doing in this region, in this now time? I want to share a word tonight from Acts chapter 13. I'm going to read one passage of scripture as our anchor, and we will dig deeper into the word tonight. But the Bible would say this. This is Acts chapter 13, verse 22. Now, Paul and Barnabas are at Antioch, and they're preaching, and there's something profound that we're told here in the text. We're told in verse 22, when he had removed him, God, we're told, this is speaking of God removing King Saul. We're told God raised up David to be their king. Listen to this, of whom he testified. God testifies. The testimony of David from God Almighty is this. I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart who will do all my will. Think of that, God testifying. I've found in David a man after my heart, someone who will do all my will. In other words, everything that God would desire, oh, he found somebody who would partner with him. He found someone who would be about doing the Father's will and the business of the kingdom and the will of God. And I wonder today if we would be found by the Lord. I wonder today if the testimony over our lives would be, I've found in so-and-so a man after my heart, or a woman after my heart. See, I think that we need to understand 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9 says this, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. So the Lord is looking, looking, looking for what? Well, to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless toward him. In other words, the Lord is looking. He's looking. This is John chapter 4 that the Father is seeking, looking for such worshipers who will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The eyes of God looking, looking, looking. I want to share a word tonight called finding a David. And I pray that if the Lord looks upon our hearts, oh, would we be found by him? Would we be found willing to partner, willing to build, willing to be about what God is doing in this hour? I don't believe that it's an hour for the church to bury our heads in the sand, scared and fearful. No, it's not a time to sit on our hands, friend. It's a time to get about the work at hand, the proclamation of the gospel and the laying on of hands and the declaration of the truth of God. Come on, we're not going to be a sleeping saint. We want to be an alive, empowered church that would partner with the Spirit of God. Father, we pray tonight that you would speak. I thank you, Lord, that you would set hearts on fire tonight. I thank you, Lord, that you call us higher. I thank you for the more of God upon every family represented, God. I thank you for ministers in this place. I thank you, Lord, that you're speaking to futures in this place. God, I thank you for your healing hand. Oh, Lord, once more we inquire of you. I pray, Lord, that you would speak profoundly to each one of us. I pray for an activation here tonight. I pray for your blessing, Lord, upon Emerge Church, God. I pray your favor upon this church. And I thank you that this church has a significant part to play in the movement of your spirit and the proclamation of your word, your gospel in this region, in this hour, now. So bless them, open our eyes, stir within us. And Lord, we ask, would you find us? In Jesus' name, we say, amen. 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 For the eyes of the Lord are looking to and fro among the earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless toward him. Again, John chapter 4, but the hour is coming and now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. I'll be honest, I grew up in an atmosphere that was more truth than it was spirit. And maybe you've been in atmospheres that were more spirit than they were truth. And I just think it's a beautiful biblical revelation that God is desiring worshipers, his church, the men and women that he would find to worship him with the full counsel of his word and the full power of his spirit. I just think, why can't we teach the Bible? Let's go verse by verse, precept by precept. Let's exposit scripture. Let's exegete the text, but let's also open the altars and allow the manifest glory of God to move in this place. Oh, I believe, friend, it's a spirit and truth hour. And the Lord's stirring within his church. Oh, we would be found by him, worshiping him in spirit and in truth. So I think if we look at this text here, now as we read the Bible, you would know as students of the Word that we don't read ourselves into Scripture. It's not about us. We're not the main character. It's about Jesus. You look to Genesis to Revelation, you see the crimson thread of the revelation, the blood of Christ, the mercy of God, the revelation of the nature and the heart of God throughout Scripture. However, we read the Bible and we can see God's heart and characteristics and nature and the application for our lives today. So let's apply that hermeneutic to our text today in Acts chapter 13. And we can see that if God will be looking, if he found in David, I think that we can look at the life of David and say, God, what are you looking for? Yeah. what are you looking for? It's John 4, spirit and truth. But I think if we dig a bit deeper, we can look at the life of David and say, wow, if you found somebody after your heart, then what are some heart characteristics? What were some postures of the life of David that you and I can apply and dig in and build our lives upon today? Well, the first I'd say, if we're gonna be found by the Lord, is number one, David was faithful in the field. David was faithful in the field. I wanna just read 1 Samuel chapter 16. I'm just gonna read a bit of text here. But this is here, the Lord rejects King Saul because he was disobedient and he had turned his heart from God. So the Lord says, I've regretted that I've made Saul king. Samuel, fill your horn with oil, go to the house of Jesse, for I have chosen a king among his sons, go and anoint. So Samuel goes, the Bible says this, how long will you grieve over Saul since I've rejected him? Again, fill your horn with oil, I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite. Verse 3, and you shall anoint for him whom I declare to you. So Samuel did what the Lord commanded, came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to him trembling because the prophet comes. They're like, oh no, what do we do? The man of God comes to town and they're trembling. They said, do you come peaceably? He said, yes, I've come to sacrifice the Lord. The sweat is wiped off. Praise God. We're all good. But Samuel says, consecrate yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. So he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. Verse 6, when they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. How many times do you see man looking at the outward? Surely this person, surely they're the pick. Surely they are the one. But the Lord says, do not look on his appearance or the height of his stature because I've rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks at the outward, but the Lord looks on the heart. Yeah. Friends, God looks at the heart. And I think this should encourage us and it should remind us that, hey, we might be overlooked by people, but man, you can be found by God. Yeah. You might not be the first pick because whatever, this, that, but hey, God looks at the heart. I'm encouraged by that. And so Samuel goes through the sons. Okay, it's not Eliab. Surely it's the next. Nope. Now Samuel is a bit confused. He says, Jesse, do you have all your sons here? Jesse's like, well, let me think. Hold on. Oh, yeah. That's how I feel sometimes. Like, are you all here? 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, we're good. Brixton's like, Dad, you left me at home. I'm like, I'm a good dad, I promise. Jesse's like, yeah, oh, I forgot there's one more son. His name's David. He's out where? In the field. He's tending the sheep. And I think this is profound because the prophet of the Lord comes. But there's a servant of God whom is forgotten by man, but he's found by God. Where is he found? He's found out in a field. I just want to tell you tonight, friend, don't despise your field. Don't, you may feel like I'm in a field. I'm forgotten out here. Does anybody know the gift on my life? Anybody know, does anybody recognize these vocal runs that I'm hitting when nobody's watching? Man, I know I can prophesy. Man, I know I've got this gift of mercy and I've got this heart and it's just this burden to serve. Doesn't anybody see? And if we are not careful, we can start to equate our hiddenness with I'm not chosen, I'm not gifted, I'm not desired. Friend, hear me. Your field is actually a gift. Let me just share a bit of my story. I'm a first generation preacher. I didn't grow up, although I love the legacy of faith, and I'm thinking, wow, how profound that my kids are gonna grow up and around the things of God and the church and I get to, you know, build them. I love that. I love legacy, I love family. And although my parents, God-fearing, spirit-filled, you know, my dad's an engineer and a teacher. And it's amazing. God uses him and it's incredible. So, but I'm trying to tell you this because I didn't grow up like I'm watching preaching or I'm sleeping in the pews. You know, I didn't grow up with that. I wasn't trained to be a pastor. I didn't know how to preach. I was a skateboarder with long hair, like, oh, saw dude, skate, right? I was like, I'm gonna skateboard. I'm gonna make millions off of music and skating, right? Flipping my hair around, my dad crushed my dreams. He's like, son, you better get a better dream. I was like, you don't understand me. And, but he was right. So, but let me tell you, we were at church one time. I was 21 years old and I was about to propose to my girlfriend at the time, now my wife, Chantel, and my mom goes up to the senior pastor, church of like 20,000 plus people, so big world. And we're here at this altar like this, and my mom comes up and says, hey, Pastor, Cody wants an internship. I just smiled and waved like, yeah. In my heart, I'm like, what are you talking about? No, I don't. I'm the next Ryan Sheckler. What are you talking about? You know what I mean? Y'all remember, okay, so some of y'all grew up in the 1900s, praise God. I'm like, no, I don't. And he looks at me, says, okay, I'll take you on. So he takes a 21-year-old with no seminary background, no preaching pedigree, no pastoral training, and he brings me into his pastoral staff with, you know, doctorates and PhDs and, you know, these like mighty men of valor. It's this crazy world that I'm brought into, but I just am reminded, friend, of all the years of hiddenness and all the moments where at 16 I prayed out to God, Lord, here am I like Isaiah. Send me. I think it's just profound. I just want to encourage somebody that you can be found by God even when you're not found by man. And that should encourage you, friend, that God, the eyes of the Lord look to and fro among the earth. I think in your field, just be faithful. What has God asked of you in this season? Just be faithful. Remember, promotion doesn't come from the east to the west. Promotion comes from the Lord. And you can be rest assured that, man, I want to be found by God being faithful at university, being faithful raising my children, being faithful at my 9-to-5, being faithful building whatever I'm supposed to build, knowing that, God, you put these dreams in my heart and you put this anointing on my life. And God, no matter where I'm at, I'll stay faithful. For in due season, Lord, you will take me to where I need to be, but I'm not gonna sit on my hands. I'm not gonna abdicate my responsibility. No, I wanna be faithful in the field. You may feel forgotten, but God sees you. So in your season, friend, be faithful. Number two, we see David, he's willing to war. Willing to war. See, the profound thing about David is from day one, he just desired God. You know, David's out in the field and he's tending sheep. He's being faithful to that which his father had asked him. But see, the field is actually a gift because the field is where you get to be developed. Because David's now promoted. Y'all know the story. David goes from the field and then Samuel, or all your sons, oh, there's one, I forgot about him. Now, David comes and Samuel sees him and the Lord says, this is the anointed. So David, the young, were thought to be about 16, 17 years old. He's anointed in front of his brothers, in front of his father as the next king of Israel. Now, you know what David did? He didn't go like, cool, I'm the king, bow down to me, kiss the ring. He didn't go from the field straight to the palace. No, he went from the field, being faithful to being anointed, to now going back to the field. But yet this is where the Lord, the eyes of God, saw David. David is promoted in due time. He's being faithful. He's been anointed. You can be rest assured, friend, that the word God gave you, the thing God put on your life, God is faithful to complete that which he starts. Yeah. Right. Oh, that brings me such confidence. Yeah. 1 Samuel chapter 16, Saul said to one of his servants, provide for me a man who can play well and bring him to me. So now there's some time, and King Saul is being tormented, and so he's asking for a musician. And so this is what the Bible goes on to say. He's, bring someone, bring a musician. One of the young men answered, look at this. This is the reputation that somebody knows. Hey, there's this guy named David. Behold, I've seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite who is skillful in playing. He's a man of valor. He's a man of war. He's prudent in speech and a man of good presence. Oh, yeah, and the Lord is with him. Like, what was said about me at 17? Like, what a reputation. I think, young ladies, if you're looking for a man of God, this should be the list here. But this is profound. He worships skillfully. Where did he learn to worship? Out in the field. Singing songs unto God. See, I just think, friend, if we're so focused about ministering to God in public but not privately, then we're just performing. But I thank God that there's a generation, there's a church, a merged church filled not with performers but disciples, ministers to God, that, Lord, I may not be seen by men right now, but, Lord, I'll still give you my praise. I'll still give you my sacrifice. I'll still give you my worship. I'll still give you my love and my heart because you are worthy and I love you and you alone. Can you just begin to thank God tonight? Come on, begin to praise him tonight. Lord, we love you. And we bless you. We ain't performing. No, we are ministers, disciples. David learned to worship in the field. Now, this is profound because we're told his reputation is he's a man of war. He's a man of valor. But hold up. Biblically, David had not yet fought Goliath. But see, in the field, he fought lions and bears and he learned how to war. He learned how to take a stand. He learned how to stand and defend and fight for the protection of his sheep and stand. And I think that there's a bit of a holy grit that's arising in the church. That, man, I just think with all the ideologies and the pressures and things, I think there's a line in the sand today. And the church is saying, as for me in my house, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to build my life on the written word of God and what God says over family and what God says over sexuality and what God says over marriage and what God says over life. Oh, that's what I'm building my life upon. And I think God will be looking for a church that would, yes, speak truth and love and love. But yet, friend, there is a passage in Jude that says to snatch people out of the fires of hell. Hate sin, but show mercy. And I think that there's a grit in the church today to say, oh, Lord, may I be like a David and be willing to fight the good fight. Right. Be willing to lead a generation not into confusion but into clarity, not into compromise but into holy conviction. I think it's in our friends where we are willing to fight the good fight. I think it's profound. The third thing we see, David was full of this mission to minister. You know, ministry in the Bible is simply a Greek word. It means to serve a table. Ministry, it means to wait at a table. And I think this should really open up our thinking because a lot of us think, well, I need a Bible degree. I need to be in the right family. I need to you know, have this degree and that thing, and hear me, degrees, education, so important, go learn. But you don't have to be a pastor to be a minister. Because ministry simply means to wait at a table. I think we need better waiters. Just getting the towel, here I am, Lord, I'll wait on you. Here I am, Lord, I'll serve. See, ministers are servants. And I love this. See, David knew that I just want to serve God. I'm not chasing a title. I'm not trying to wiggle my way to get anointed. I'm just serving God. And I think there's something profound about just that simple devotion, that first love fire of God. I just want to serve you. I just want to bless you. I just want to make your name known. I just want to serve people, and I want to minister to you. God, when's the last time we asked God, what blesses your heart? God, what blesses you? What moves you? What do you desire? Again, that spirit and its truth. Lord, you have such thing as acceptable worship. And I want to move your heart. I want to bless your heart. See, David grew. He was faithful in the field. He was promoted. He came in and he began to war and war in through his worship and ministering. And Saul was tormented, but then he was calm because of the presence of God and the anointing of a man who would worship, not just, you know, with lions and bears and the enemy, but also with his worship and his song. And now he is older, and we want to look at 2 Samuel chapter 6. David now is older, and David has been through some battles. He's fought Goliath. He's taken the throne. He's led a nation. And now David has this desperation to get the presence of God back to Jerusalem. In 1 Samuel, we see that the Philistines captured the Ark of the Covenant, which at that time, because this was Old Testament, Old Covenant, the Holy Spirit had not yet been poured out, because the Holy of Holies, the place within the tabernacle where one man once a year could go in and meet with God, where the Shekinah glory, the manifest presence of God, would fall. So where the ark was, that's where the priests would take the blood of a life, and the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies and sprinkle the blood upon the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant, and God would meet, and the nation's sin would be atoned. It's fascinating. But see, where the Ark of the Covenant was where the presence of God was, because this is Old Covenant and this is how God did it. And so where the Ark was, God was. But the Philistines had taken the Ark, and therefore they did not have the manifest presence of the Lord. Now this is juxtaposed to our new covenant, where Jesus, our great high priest, our mediator, went into the Holy of Holies, that upon the cross he bowed his head, gave up his spirit, and the temple veil separating the outer court from the Holy of Holies was torn, not from bottom to top, oh, but from top to bottom, so that we could go into the holy place. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence. Oh, let us approach the throne of grace, friend, that the blood of Jesus has made a way for us to now enter into the presence of God. God doesn't reside in temples made with human hands, but he resides, in the skin habitation of the redeemed. Anybody redeemed in the place? Come on, you got the Holy Ghost in you. You got the indwelt spirit of God, friend. Oh, this is profound. And so David, he's got this desperation. I got to get the presence of God back to my nation. And this is where we would see he's dancing. You know this passage. We love it. David dancing undignified around the Ark of the Covenant. And I think this is a beautiful picture of David's heart to just minister to God, to just lift up a song to God, to just bless God. But we see in Acts, in 2 Samuel, chapter 6, verse 16, that as the Ark of the Lord came into the city of David, his wife looked out the window and saw him leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. I think this is a picture, friend, because I think there's parts of us that wants to be free when we worship and to love God and minister, but we get so nervous about what people will think, or we get so nervous about how we'll look. And I think in this passage, we see that when his wife looks upon him, I think this is really the religious spirit, that when people are praising God, they're pouring out their hearts and they're loving God. See, the religious spirit would see this and say, that's wasteful. That's too much. It's too weird. It's too crazy. But the Lord doesn't see waste, friend. He sees worship. And I think, man, just to get this in our hearts, that God, you love worship. You love the undignified praise. There is a freedom that we can come before God and just minister to his heart. And I'm sharing this, friend, and it's deep, and it's all this Bible stuff, and Keys, if you could come and join me. But I'm sharing this because I think if we understand, man, the heart of David, he, at the end of the day, he just wanted to bless God. Yeah. He didn't care what he looked like. He didn't care what people thought. He lifted his hands as high as they could because he wasn't worshiping man, he was worshiping God. He danced with the freedom in the presence of God. Oh, because he wasn't doing it for Instagram or for a moment. He was doing it because he loves God. And I think, friend, just to bring some freedom to your heart today, oh, posture matters. Don't allow a religious spirit to choke out your praise. Don't allow a religious spirit to make you put your hands down. No, friend, we got a mission to minister. We want to be found by God. Oh, let's be faithful in the field. Let's be willing to war against the spirit of the age. Let's have a minute mission to just minister to God's heart. Lord, what moves your heart? What blesses your heart? Thank you, God, that I got your spirit within me. And wherever I go, you come with me. Will my life be pleasing to you? See, friend, ministry is not a Sunday moment. Worship is not simply a song. Worship is a life laid down. So number four, if we land the plane here today, I want to pray for you. We see David just consistently went after God. I love the heart of David, Psalm 27:4. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Friend, the Lord is looking for men and women who would do all that's in his heart. So say, God, I just want to partner with what you're doing, Lord. I want to partner with your will over my life, your will over my marriage, my family. In the field, friend, go after God. In promotion, go after God. On the front lines, go after God. And you minister, go after God. And here, I love this about David. Even when he fell short of the glory of God, he still got back up. Going after God. So I just felt here tonight. Again, Pastor Jack, you picked this man, so it's your fault. But may we be like David's. May there be a singleness of mind within us. May we be a fully surrendered people. Lord, will we ask God, what's in your heart? Because hear me, our families need the word of God and the spirit of God. Our region needs an encounter with the Most High. Our universities need the power of God. And I think, Lord, if you're doing something significant in this hour, I want to be a part of it. I want to be a willing vessel. I want to be a waiter. Lord, here I am. Use me. Send me. And so I simply want to just pray for those in this place who, maybe you're in a field tonight. Maybe you feel bypassed and overlooked. Maybe you've been discouraged with what God's put on your life. Or maybe you've been discouraged with waiting or hiddenness. But I just felt that I would just come into this place and just under the stewardship of your senior pastors and just come and add to what God's doing and stirring in this church. And just come and say, Lord, would you commission your saints in this place to come upon them in a fresh way? Lord, would you baptize us afresh with boldness and power and a burden for the lost? Lord, may we be a people that would say, God, here I am. Because I prayed a prayer at 16, Lord, here I am. And I meant that, Lord, whatever it takes, wherever you want. And so we sold everything, friend, not knowing where we were going at the time and didn't have a team, didn't have money, didn't know anybody, but the Lord said, go to the place that you were born. Return to the land which you came from and watch what I'll do. Watch what we'll do. We just turned 4.5 years in our church, if I could just give God glory, it's over 1,000 people. It's incredible. It's not a flex. It's, hey, God, look at what you've done. We've seen people bound by demons, freed like that by the power of the Holy Ghost. We've seen missionaries sent out. We've seen bodies healed. We've seen cancer dissipate. We've seen people who have been prodigals of the church brought into the repentance and the fullness of God. Friend, I'm just here to tell you, what would God do with your yes? Because there are church planters in this room. There are missionaries in this room. There are evangelists in this room and teachers and prophets and intercessors. Oh, I think it's time that we say, God, here I am. Here I am. Well, who's on the other side of your yes? And may you not be bound by fear or misunderstanding or discouragement or shame. I say in the name of Jesus, shame off you. Fear off you. Discouragement off you. Oh, Lord, I pray upon this people tonight. Lord, would you fall afresh in this place? Would you stir up every dream? Would you impart every gift in this hour? Lord, I'm calling forth the evangelists. I'm calling forth the intercessors. I'm calling forth the prophets. I'm calling forth the merciful. I'm calling forth the apostles, the pastors, the church planters, the businessmen, the businesswomen, the mothers, the fathers. Oh, I declare, Lord, may your kingdom come in this region. May you fill us with a holy touch of your power. Oh, Lord, we pray, would we be found by you? And so we say, here we are. Here we are. As you get on your feet this evening, if there's been any discouragement in your life, there's been any fear, there's been any trepidation, maybe you've been running from God, maybe you've been hiding from the Lord, maybe you have been running from that dream, that word, that prophecy, that thing that God has spoken over your life. Friend, I just want to give you a moment. Does every eye close in this place? If you're here today and you've been running from God, maybe you've not even come into a life-altering relationship with God by accepting his son, Jesus. Maybe you're a prodigal. Maybe you've been running like I ran when I was in my younger years. I simply want to throw the net out here tonight, friend. If you want to give your heart to Christ for the first time, or maybe you need to rededicate your heart tonight, I believe that in this place there's a call to save and there's a call to send. So let me throw out the net here tonight. If you're here and you want to give your heart to Christ, say, Lord, I'm tired of running. And right now you feel that conviction of the Holy Spirit, friend. Don't run from that. Don't neglect that. Oh, just lean in right now. Either for the first time or a rededication in this place. With every eye closed, every head bowed, as you reflect in the presence of God Almighty. If that's you, would you put your hand up? Say, pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. I see your hand here. Thank you, Lord. I see your hand up the back. Thank you, God. Is there anyone else? Just say, just pray for me. I'm not going to call you up here. I just want to simply pray for you. I want to know who I'm praying for. Anybody else in this place? I see two hands, two hands. I thank you, Lord. Well, just where you're at, I just want to lead you in a simple prayer of faith. It's not a magic spell. It's just a declaration from your heart to the throne of God. In Emerge Church, I just invite you to say this out loud together. What would you say? Dear Jesus, here I am. Please forgive me for all that I've done that's gone against your heart and your word. I change my mind and I come fully to you. Here's my heart. Here's my past. Here's my future. I give it all, and I receive today your forgiveness, your mercy, and your Holy Spirit. Fill me, O Lord, and free me today. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Oh, Lord, I pray right now. If you prayed that prayer, lift your hands. God, I pray, Father, you'd fill them right now with that holy presence. I thank you, God, that fear's lifting, shame lifting. I thank you, God, that you speak a better word. And I just pray, Lord, that your perfect peace right now would fall in the name of Jesus. Oh, we pray. Come on, let's say amen. Let's thank God today for those two. Bless you.